Wow. Well, let's look at some scripture here. Let's hear what the Lord's saying in His Word tonight. So go get your Bibles out. Go to the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Start with verse 9. As the Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. How much do you think the Father loved Jesus? Jesus is speaking. He says, as the Father loved me. Okay? He says, with that kind of love, that kind of God love, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. I mean, we could just go home on that one. You know what I'm saying? Just think about that. God, how much does God love Jesus? And Jesus says that same amount of love that He loved me is what I have for you. That's how much I love you. If you ever feel like you're not loved, or you feel like, where's God or whatever, you just have to stop and just read that scripture, the very first verse. That's not even the message tonight. But that's a good message. You with me? How much does Jesus love you? As much as the Father loved Him. I mean, that's one of those scriptures right there, one verse. If you would meditate on it and chew on it and dwell on it and just keep digesting it and keep rolling it over and keep asking the Holy Spirit to just sow it in your heart and keep. I mean, because it's hard for me to even read that scripture and to imagine that kind of love. To think that's the kind of love that He has for us. It's as great as the Father loved Him. He goes on and he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So the secret to walking in that love and keeping yourself in the love of God is, let me put it this way, something easier, just walking in the Word. Remember how I was teaching Sunday about fear and about how fear takes us out of the truth. And that it's so funny that we're so in tune with the enemy. The enemy can come in and sow a seed in our life and begin to plant a thought in our life and begin to run a scenario in through our minds. And then the next thing we know, we're running with that scenario. And we've done that most all of our life. And all that is we've just tuned ourselves in and gotten so attuned to the voice of the enemy, the voice of destruction, that we get so attuned that that's where we live, and then that we just fall back over in that rut. That's where we stay. And that fear takes us out of, and Jesus right here, if you stay in my word, you'll stay in my commandment, you'll abide in my commandments, you'll do what the word says. Well, just think about that. Let's just take it real simple. See, religion always teaches us that Religion teaches us that the moment you do something wrong, you're out of grace. You're out of, God's not there for you. But the truth of the matter is, He's always there for us. But we get so thinking on natural levels because that's what happens. You did something wrong, you got in trouble, your parents are mad at you, and you're out of there, they're mad at you. And so you see the frown on their face, you see the disappointment. You're trying to, go. And we think that that's how God is. Because they just can't believe that God just, His love is so amazing. So the moment you get into worry, you just stepped out of the commandment of God. Right? The moment you start worrying about something, you stepped out of the commandment of God. And so now you're over into the camp of the enemy, you might as well say. You're listening to his thoughts run through your head. You just lost this abounding love that wants to just come and just love you. That just wants to make things right for you. Just wants to, no matter how many times you fall down, he just wants to get you up and dust you off and say, it's going to be okay, come on, you can do it. Because we work in the world standard is in a standard of approval. Performance and approval, performance and approval. God says, no, I just absolutely just pour out my love for you. But Jesus says, the secret of walking in the love is you got to stay in the commandments. Okay? Goes on and says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, we can really just go home on that one. He says, look, you just got to know how much I love you. And as long as you stay in my commandments and don't get over there listening to the camp of the enemy, don't get over there listening to his talk, don't let him trash talk you, don't let him get you over there, well then joy is going to come into your heart. I mean, just think about it right now. If you know, I was mega wealthy and I just walked up to you and said, Tim, I'm going to tell you right tonight, you never will have to work a day again in your life. I am going to provide everything for you. All I'm going to send you a check. I'm every month. You do not have to worry. It will be in the mailbox. And I'm going to set this up perpetually that even if I drop dead, it's going to be there. It's going to keep coming. And it's just going to be there for you for the rest of your life. You never have to worry about another thing. You never have to have a thought. You never have to have a money issue or thought in your life ever again. Would you be happy? Wouldn't any of us? I mean, and that's just money. So what if I had the power to say, okay, but that's just money, but I'm going to see that your health never fails. Your shoes never wear out. Your clothes never wear out. I mean, now we're getting happier, right? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, do you realize the children of Israel walked through the desert for 40 years and they never had to buy a pair of shoes? And I bet some people complain, I've been wearing these shoes forever. Things just won't wear out. I want a new pair of shoes. Styles have changed. Good God, it's been 40 years. Are you with me? But I mean, they never wanted, they never lacked. They got up every morning and they walked outside and manna was there on the ground for them to gather up meat. Nobody was sick. Anybody got bit by a snake, they looked at the pole or healed. But they complained all the time. Earth had to swallow up, and open up and swallow them up. They had to, you know, they were just complaining and murmuring and griping the whole time. But literally everything was taken care of. I mean, it's like the goose that laid the golden egg, right? Every day you just go to the hen house and you get your golden egg and cash it in, and she just lives forever. I mean, it'd be sweet, wouldn't it? You know, that would be nice. Just your chicken just popped out. There it was. Like, glory. Yeah, maybe it could be a chicken. I mean, why not? If a goose could, a chicken can. Well, I mean, let's take one literally. Jesus went down to the, told Peter to go down to the, get the cold coin out of the fish's mouth. What if every day Jesus told you just to go fishing? He's got the fish and brought in there. Oh, here we go. You gotta put it all into perspective. And I saw something on, I won't even get into quoting it one time about Somebody was estimating the amount of fish that the disciples brought in. You know, when Jesus said, no, we'll cast your net on the other side. And then it's you know, it was so many fish and what fish were and how many they usually catch and all this kind of stuff. And it was like a huge abundance. What if every day all you had to listen to which side of the net you threw the boat? I mean, which side of the net you threw? No, which side of the boat you threw the net? There you go. It's been a long day. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that is literally what Jesus wants to do for you. And he says, but look, if you get in worry, you take yourself out of my love. The moment you enter into fear, you take yourself out of my love because you've got to be in faith. The moment you get in over here into jealousy, now you've moved out. The moment you get into anger, you've moved out. You've moved out of my commandments. I'm not doing it. I never went anywhere. I'm a God who doesn't move. My love is still pouring forth for you, but you stepped out. And when you stepped out over here, then now you're going to get tormented. Let me read on. I got to get to the message. Greater love is no one than this, and to lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love no other, that you love one another. I mean, pretty simple, really, right? Then why do we have such trouble with it? Pretty simple, but we have so much trouble with it. Let's go over here to the Gospel of Matthew 22. Matthew 22. I don't want to read all of this, but in Matthew 22, it's the story of, you know, he says what the kingdom of heaven is like, and he's going through talking about the marriage supper he made for the son, and you know, the people didn't want to come. Let's read it. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited. Note that, they were invited. The ones they were on the guest list to the wedding, but they were not willing to come. Doesn't that just sound crazy? Remember now, he said, I didn't choose you. I mean, I chose you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. All right? So he chose them. Invite them to the wedding. They weren't willing to come. Again, he sent out the servant saying, tell those who were invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted cattle are killed. All things are ready to come to the wedding. But they made light of it. They went their own way in their own farms, another to his business. And the rest seized the servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Treated them spitefully? Killed them over a wedding? Well, that's pretty severe. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. God says, you don't want to come to the wedding? Well, take this. But think about these people. These people were invited. These people were supposed to come. This chapter 22 right here is heaven. Or salvation that's offered freely to everybody. And there's people that I don't understand, they will not choose salvation. They will not choose Jesus. Goes on here and he says, okay, so verse 8, and then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants who went out to the highways and gathered all those together, and they found both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Okay, one way to look at this also is that this first people they invited was the Jewish nation. And we're the ones that are sitting by the highways and the byways. And we got invited to the wedding, right? So those servants went out to the highways and byways, gathered together all, and they found both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now when the king came in and to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Now don't feel sorry for this, guys. Okay, don't feel sorry for him. Because the wedding garments, when I've looked up the Jewish, the wedding garments were handed out the door. He just refused it. Wasn't like, oh, well, maybe he was too poor and homeless and he didn't have enough money to buy a wedding garment. God's not fair. No. The wedding garments were at the front door. He just didn't want to put one on. He said, I like my clothes like they are. I don't want that wedding garment. In other words, I'm okay to get saved. I got my own righteousness. I don't need your blood to cover my sins. And so he said, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And the guy was speechless. And the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into the outer darkness, for there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14 is what I want you to look at. For many are called, but few are chosen. Some of the translations read, many are called and few are chosen. Some translations read, and many are called, but few choose. Now, this is talking, like I said, this is talking about salvation. Okay? The kingdom of heaven. We're singing that song tonight, and all I could think about was, man, who doesn't want Jesus? You know, why would somebody not want a God who loves you so much that he'd send his own son to die for you? Why would someone not want a God who says, look, all I want you to do in life is if you'll follow my commandments and you'll get in faith and live like I'm asking you to, well, then I'll give you anything you ask me. He said, well, that's the problem. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I do things wrong. Stay in grace and repent. Don't be a person that's at the wedding and said, I don't want to wear that. I don't like that wedding garment. I don't want that robe. Stubborn, hard-headed. But even God knows, he says, man, I'm calling everybody, but not everybody's going to choose it. I'm calling everybody into the kingdom, but not everybody's going to choose it. I'm calling everybody to have my love poured out on, but not everybody's going to choose it. So look where the power is. In the hands of the person either accepting or rejecting it. The love of God's poured out to everybody equally. The power's in the free will of the person to say, no, I won't, or yes, I will. Right? Now, one more scripture. Go to the book of Psalms and go to chapter 24. Look at verse 3. Now again, there's a translation thing here. It says, who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord? But if you go look up that word hill, everywhere else it was translated mountain. Okay? But what is funny is, and I could really preach this and twist it around for all of us here, it also means hill country. The mountain of the Lord, hill country. Texas Hill Country. Okay. But it says, who may ascend? I'm going to say, who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? And I think right there is one of the big keys why people don't choose to walk with the Lord, because they don't want to climb the mountain. It's always easier living in the flatland. It's always easier to stay on the bottom and just stay with all the bottom feeders than it is to walk up the mountain. Didn't say it was going to be tough, but I mean, I was laughing the other day. I thought of this story. I was down working on the job, and one of the guys was trying to balance a box on his head and walk with it. And he couldn't do it, and I was laughing at him. And it reminded me of a story years ago. I was in Mexico. This is a long time ago. It's been, 15 years or more. And we went way down in there, and we were preaching at this church I'd never been at. And I was with Sister Annie and all the group. And so she pulls her car up into the bottom of this hill, I mean, it's a pretty good-sized hill. It's like a, it's a pretty good angle just right straight up this road. And at the top, you can see the church up there. But I mean, it's pretty steep and it's just dirt. And she said, we can't drive up there. The cars, the cars will spin out. We have to stop down here and we just have to walk up to the hill. So it was a conference she was having. You remember the days when we had, what do you call that thing that, you remember we had the, it was a projector, but you put the paper on it and it projected up on the wall? I don't know what those things have. Overhead projector. Yeah, there you go. And so we had one of those, and I had two cases of Bibles, and then she had another box full of a bunch of material, literature. And so there was several people there, and so, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the hill, and I wanted to grab the overhead projector because it was lighter than the case of Bibles. But, the macho in me said, you got to carry the Bibles, and so I was trying to wrestle with these two cases of Bibles, and then as I'm wrestling with it, this lady comes up to me, like my age, and she's trying to take one of the cases, and I said, no, they're heavy. I told her, it's basal, and no, don't take it, and she's like, no. She finally drags it out of my hands, and she puts that thing on top of her head. Like in a second, just that quick, and just put it up on top of her head. And she just, she didn't have to like fix it or nothing. It just balanced it on top of her head. And she just takes up the hill. And I mean, you're literally having to walk up this hill like this. I'm at this kind of an angle going up this hill. So before I can get another one, another lady grabs the Bible, the case of Bibles. I mean, she sits on top of her head, man, they just start trucking up this hill. And I'm like, oh God, I got the projector, the light thing, something, and I don't make it. Well, man, I don't make it halfway up there to my calves are burning so bad. It's like, oh my God, those ladies are out of sight. They're already at the church passing out Bibles, and I can't get up the hill. It's just my calves. I mean, it's just like, oh, they were like on fire, and I couldn't go up anymore. And so I stopped and I sat down on this rock holding this light little overhead projector, And this lady, I see her start to come down the hill, and I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Man, she's going to get this projector and take it from me, So I got up to the girls, just trudging to get up the top of the hill. Well, she met me about halfway down, took the projector from me, put it on top of her head, and went on up the hill. And I was just totally embarrassed and demoralized right there that these ladies, and they just had them balanced on top of their head, and they just, choop. But see, they were used to climbing the mountain. Used to putting things in their head and doing it. And it was no big deal to them. If I would have put that Bibles back then on top of my head, it would have hurt my neck so bad. I mean, I'd have had to find a chiropractor instantly to try to straighten my neck out. I mean, it just smashed my vertebrae. And I mean, I hurt watching them. And they just like it was nothing, just went up there. But they had done it, and there was an endurance built up. And when I read this the other day, I thought, yeah, Lord, most people don't want to climb the mountain. But after you've climbed the mountains, it's not that hard. Once you've developed a habit of walking up the mountain, it's no big deal to you anymore. But you got to get in shape. And I think the word of the Lord is to us tonight is simply this. We have got to get in shape in the sense of being attuned to hear the Spirit of God. And quit listening to the voice of the devil. We have got to rest in the love of God. And don't get over into fear and worry and anxiety and the things that the enemy wants to take us off and get us off out over there in left field in his kingdom. And we have to get so accustomed to climbing the mountain of God that when the negative voice comes in, We're just like, what? What? I'll tell you one more story. I was always impressed with a book about, well, let me get my preacher right. Well, I don't want to lie on tape. I don't remember which one it was. Some of y'all probably know this story. One of the great old ministers, evangelists of the past. Why can't I think of his name? Anyway, it wasn't those guys. It was another guy. I can't remember his name. He was preaching in Africa. And at night, he was asleep. And his bed began to rattle, and it moved out across the floor. And he got out across the floor, and it was demonic. And so he woke up, and he looked, and literally the devil himself was manifest in his room. Was it Wigglesworth? And he said, oh, it's just you? It's just you? You see what I'm saying? What a place to be in. Oh, it's just you. So, wouldn't it be nice to be there? But that takes endurance of going up the mountain of God. It takes endurance of getting yourself in shape to hear the voice of the one who loves you. It takes endurance to keep ourselves in the commandments of God, to staying in His Word and staying true to His Word and what He says to us and not getting off over into that other stuff, because there's no joy there. There's no joy there. Amen? So what you can do is an examination of yourself. You can do a self-examination and say, okay, now how much am I listening to the voice of the enemy and how much am I listening to the true one who loves me in His voice? Amen?